coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in. It is hour two of Old School, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Orman here, Jay Foreman there, and you listening wherever you are in the world. You can be a part of the show, as always, 402-464-5685. You can't be wherever in the world and get the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, though, really only for our Lincoln and Omaha friends. But come from your surrounding communities to any of their three Lincoln locations or one up in Omaha. It will be worth your trip. A great trip up to the Sanford Pentagon, Jay, for Nebraska basketball. Men's and women's teams both end up winning. We'll start on the men's side. The Huskers hang 100 on Oklahoma. Not necessarily uncommon for Nebraska. Those two schools went back and forth quite a bit in the mid-90s, had some pretty entertaining affairs. Nebraska gets down by as much as 16 points in the mid to late part of the first half, led by as much as 11. Either way, Nebraska ends up pulling off the win over Oklahoma. Final score of 105-99. First impression for me was Fred Hoiberg ball might have actually arrived, might have officially arrived. It helps when you shoot over 50% from three. But this is kind of what the Nebraska fans thought they were going to get when Fred Hoiberg first walked onto campus. They've had some stops and starts offensively. It's been a kind of defensive-oriented team the last handful of years. But Nebraska found the extra gear it needed to win its first high major game of the year. Not perfect, plenty impressive.
Yeah, it was really impressive to go on that run and sustain it and have an answer for every counterpunch that Oklahoma tried to get back in the game. And they made that late run where they're little desperation threes and in a putback, you know, three-point play. But the game was in well in hand. And to be down by that much and have no control of the game, they increased their pace and did it with spacing. And then obviously they started to make shots and the rest was there. Then they started to get a couple of timely turnovers. And this is exactly what people envision and remember Fred Hoiberg when he was at Iowa State. Then obviously went to the Bulls. And they showed some, you know, glimpses there. And then when you hire him here in Nebraska, you're like, okay, this is what we want, because that's maybe what we need, because just in the recruiting, you know, landscape, you're not going to probably get the depth of really, really good athletes and, you know, that other schools would be able to get. And so now you have it. You know, you went out and, I mean, me and you talked about it. I was like, dang, some of these dudes getting it. And then you just, then you said, look, just look at the three-point percentage. So you want guys that can space the floor. Rink Mass got busy. Was it Sanford?
Yeah, Price Sanford.
Sanford got busy too. There's two grown men. They know how to play. They know how to compete. They're both physical. And then I think, you know, I want to give a shout out to Jamarcus Lawrence. You go 0 points in the first half. Come down, hit the three.
Saddle with two fouls, right. Barely play.
But then you shot the three, hit one, then you came down right now. It was I knew he was pulling him. As soon as he came over half court, and then he started to get busy, and then everybody else started to, you know, do their thing. So then you kept it on. You go 101-105. I think the best compliment that you could get as a coach, football would be how disciplined and physical you are. And obviously after a win, right? Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff is out when you get beat, you know, but in basketball, Oklahoma's coach said the pace that they were playing. See, that means something different to me, because it lets me know they're practicing and they've been prepared at that style, at that pace, right? And so that's 1 through 10. You got great minutes from Cale Jacobson, and you got even better minutes from Sam Hoiberg.
Funny enough, stats would tell a different story. You actually got better minutes from Cale Jacobson. A game high plus 15 for Cale Jacobson. Sam Hoiberg actually ends up a minus 10 on the day, but you know, that's one where I think his contributions maybe outweigh the plus minus.
My reason is saying Sam Hoiberg, because you know you could put him in at the end of the game and you know he's making all the free throws.
Oh yeah.
And he's gonna make the right play. Mm-hmm. He's gonna make the heady play. He's gonna make the play that's not gonna be in the box score. So I guess my reasoning is not fact-based, it's more experience based in closing a game.
But much of Sam's negative came in that first half when Oklahoma was making that run. But to your point, he was on the floor late when it mattered because Nebraska trusted him and could trust him.
Right.
You're right.
And so that's look, when you can put him in there, you know he's going to D up. You know he's going to go for 50-50 balls. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to call a timeout if you need it. You know he's going to save. You know he's going to throw. And he's going to do whatever you need to do to win. And then you know exactly he can break. He can handle it against the press. And when they have to foul, that's the dude you want. That's why I was saying you get even better. I think Kale Jacobson kind of started it, you know, and he played good all game, but And then between those two, then Sam, you know, kind of came in towards the end. So those are two guys where I think you're gaining, you know, one plus roster spots each because you're getting the guy that's playing right now, and but then also the guy that's able to develop your whole team because I'm assuming those two, you know, are running the, you know, when they're scrimmaging, they're running the second team, you know, they're not taking a back seat.
No.
And so to get better, you got to iron sharpens iron. And so I think it's a huge win. I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to handle Oklahoma's athleticism. They are athletic. They aren't really in tune yet. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they end up in the Big 12. Cause that's a gauntlet.
Oh, they're in the SEC
or SEC. Excuse me. I keep
thinking, either way.
Right. Yeah, I know it's even worse. Yeah. Right. But I always think Oklahoma with Trey Young and all them. But yeah, then the SEC and how they end up shaping up and how they've had to change their roster. But what they learn from Nebraska, because they put up some points too. And I mean, you come in the middle half stepping, you know, they'll get it up off the glass on you quick and get downhill. I mean, get up the court. And so they're going to cause a lot of people a lot of problems.
There's a bunch we can get to. I do want to jump out at Nebraska's pace a little bit here. I mean, the shot chart was really good for Nebraska once again. I mean, 34 of 59 overall. That is 57.6% shooting for the game. For the game, Oklahoma shoots 52.4%. Nebraska takes 4 fewer shots than Oklahoma and 10 fewer threes than Oklahoma did. Nebraska makes up for it, though, by making one more on those 10 fewer attempts. Also went +3 at the free throw line, and we can get to that in a little bit. 27 three-point attempts, Jay, isn't a lot for Nebraska.
Yeah,
it's really not. If you look at Nebraska on the fast break in transition, actually outscored by Oklahoma 13-12 in transition points. Nebraska isn't necessarily playing that breakneck pace. You know, I mean, 63 shots and 59 shots is a good number, but that's not off the charts.
Right.
It was incredible efficiency from both sides. Nebraska would still, you know, walk the ball up or jog the ball up and get into it set. So it's not like Nebraska is playing the mid-90s style that you would maybe imagine, right, in the 105 to 99 final score. They were playing quick, but they were playing with purpose, right? Because when Fred Hoiberg says pace, I want fans to make sure they understand that it's about being on time more so than it is going fast. Nebraska will need to go fast. Nebraska will need to get out and transition to really maintain its half-court efficiency, because that's how Nebraska is going to hang against some of these more athletic teams that try to gum things up in the half-court. You'll have to take those transition opportunities. But 59 shots in a 40-minute game isn't off the charts. 27 threes really isn't that many. I mean, Oklahoma shot more, and they shot 37% from three, 38% from three for the game, which more often than not, you're going to feel good. But this was an incredibly efficient game from Nebraska. 1002 says, was that the best shooting half of all time for Nebraska? It's got to be up there. In the second half, Nebraska goes 18 of 28, 9 of 14 from 3, and 16 of 20 at the free throw line, much of that in the last minute. Nebraska found something after really the first 6 or 7 minutes went by. I mean, they gave up a 10-0 run to start the game. They crawl back in at Oklahoma again, gets up by 16. Nebraska cutting it down to single digits in really 7 going into half. You felt okay. Because Nebraska looked like found something, and they sure did. I want to touch on Price Sanford here. That's a guy who came off the bench for Iowa last year as the sixth man. He just looks so much more comfortable with the ball in his hands than maybe some other transfer portal adds. I mean, he had that dunk that kind of reminded me what Cooper Flagg did to, who would that have been? I think Ian Jackson last year, or Drake Powell against North Carolina, kind of jab step, drive around him, get to the rim. Yeah, that one, the cuff, tuple cuff, reverse layup finishes, including the and one pretty early on in that one. And then he shot it pretty well from three again. I mean, 4 of 9, that'll play, 4 of 4 on free throws. Sure, not the greatest defender, but according to Evan Miyakawa, big stats guy that I follow, Price Sanford, per possession, has been the 24th best player in college basketball. And this is adjusted for opponents as well.
Yeah.
Do I think he sustains that all year? Probably not. But I was on the Price Sanford bandwagon. Nebraska said, yeah, he's got some ability to handle the ball. And you see Price Sanford attacking in transition. You see him able to beat guys off the dribble. On top of his ability to shoot Nebraska back into a game, Price Sanford kept Nebraska afloat until, like you said, Jamarcus Lawrence came around, Rink Mass came around, and then Cale Jacobson made some tough plays in the second half.
Yeah, I think he's paying dividends. I think it's even, better than maybe what people envisioned at this point. I think his skill set is not Derek Walker-ish, but it's a different type of skill set. And I think that's where you see it takes a lot of pressure off Rink Mass too, where he's able to kind of maybe the high-low game. And when you see with 7 assists with him and 10 between those two, you're two big guys. I mean, that's either dishing to each other or getting it to the right people. So I think he helps him spread the floor. I think he can, get busy and get downhill good enough to where he's going to keep people honest. As long as guys on the 3-point line are ready to shoot, somebody's going to hit. And obviously it's Rink Mass. And then obviously Jamarcus Lawrence, 3-for-5. Cale Jacobson hit one. And obviously Connor
Seagen. Well, the tough and one to give him the lead after the free throw.
Connor Seagen, then he came up, he only hit one. And then Burke hit one. So I think, obviously, you don't expect 57% from three every single game. But you expect good shots. And when this team has enough shooters, that they can hit them, and then they've were able to. I saw one of the best plays I saw where Oklahoma went on a little 62 run, and they came back, got it to Rink Mass, top of the key, kind of a little dribble handoff real quick, and it was like a dribble bounce pass handoff, got it pinned down, and then immediately right into him. They had number 7, Dayton Forseth on him, and he had him in the first. Had him. They could have easily fed it into the post. Right there from the wing, got it to the corner, got it to him. Good enough. Rink Mass was able to get back to the free throw line. Why that's important is because you have Fred Hoiberg, I think, does a really good job. And you saw this a lot towards the end of Bryce McGowan's and them when they went on that 4 or 5 game run. They're like, oh, this is how this should look, right? And then it went into the next year with Sam Griesel, where you have those momentum stoppers and then momentum extenders for Nebraska. That's what was probably the most impressive to that, because they look very cohesive. I think the role definition is really good, which makes them play better. And I think it's also really, really helped on the bench as well, because guys know what they have to do. Because, a couple years ago, what was the 3-point shooter that went down to Texas A&M?
Oh, C.J. Wilcher.
C.J. Wilcher, I think with C.J., he was taking good shots, but then he kind of didn't know, what his role was. He didn't really maybe welcome it or whatever it was, just from my perspective. Now you got guys knowing exactly where they fit in, and they're able to play, last game at a high level.
Well, and even if you consider that, you go from C.J. Wilcher to Connor Seagen last year, then to Price Sanford, I would say Seagen's probably more on the one-dimensional end. Wilcher's probably in the middle, and Sanford probably offers the most. Right? Wilcher got there by the end of his career. Seagen has added a little bit in the mid-range.
Yeah.
Wilcher was a little thicker body. If guards tried to post him up, he could hang a little bit. Seagen's a zero defensively. Yeah. He competes, but that's not enough. But you see Nebraska kind of steadily improving in that position. What they got from Connor Seagen last year was very similar to what they got from C.J. Wilcher, even if it looked different. But Price Sanford is kind of the next step in that evolution of that role.
Yeah, and give Fred and the whole crew credit where they're able to kind of, mold what they view Nebraska overall as a Nebraska player needs to be, and then what we need, in certain pieces to compete and be very effective in the Big Ten. So I think they've leveled up, right? They've tried different things. They've had the support to, kind of peel back, try it again. Got some really, I'm assuming, good support NIL-wise, and so they're able to go, and it's appealing too. So if you have a guy that kind of envisions, as a football player, you go and say, okay, when I'm watching tape, what linebacker kind of plays like me, so I know kind of really to study, because then I see how you're going to attack. Same with a basketball player. You get a four that can run a little bit, get out there on the break, hit the open three. Oh, yeah, okay, I could go to Nebraska. I see exactly where I could fit in. And then they can show you successful, tangible, you know, plays and points per game at that too.
And to that point, 2026 signee Colin Rice was in the building for Nebraska out of Price Sanford High School.
Yeah.
Going to be asked to play that role.
Right.
You see Price Sanford lead Nebraska in scoring, back lead all players in scoring with 28. You talk about role definition, Rink Mast and Price Sanford combined to shoot 34 times for Nebraska. They go 19 of 34. That's well over half of Nebraska's shots. Under the radar kind of shout out to Bearcat Boyetonjohn. He ended up playing 32 minutes in this one. And really what's going to keep him on the floor is going to be that free throw shooting late in games. Nebraska likes him defensively. They like his ability to rebound the basketball. 65% free throw shooter last year, 73% this year. If he's above 70%, you can have him on the court late in games. If he's below 70%, that's where you get into hack a Bearcat territory. He had a really quiet 16 points. Yeah. 7 shots, 5 of 7, attacked his mismatches, hit his 1-3, hit his free throws, rebounded pretty well. One bad hook and hold, but that was a solid game, and that's the role for Bearcat.
That's exactly what you want. Anywhere from 10 to 16 points, and you know, and obviously be effective in the rebounds, and obviously in the free throws is huge. And his ability, if he knows where he's at, I mean, he's in the building, like I'm here, right?
Yes, I am present.
Right, I am present. Okay, we're not in Bearcat world or whatever. He'll be just fine. Cause I think he does, you know, he's not overly quick, but I think he's like gangly enough, physical enough to cause you problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
It's like just an odd matchup just because he's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it's not like maybe technically sound, but it gets the job done. And
we've all played against those guys.
and you know, he doesn't really get up off the floor, but he can rebound. Got good timing, so you know, you're happy for him. It seems like, you know, that he's in the, you know, I think he's adjusting, you know, a lot better now than maybe last year.
We talk about Nebraska's depth quite a bit. They have 7 guys that end up playing double digit minutes. I think Bearcat's 32 minutes, much better shape, like he's talked about a couple times, is key. But then you get 11 and a half minutes off the bench from Connor Asijan. Okay, that's fine. You can live with 11 and a half, 12 minutes a game from him. Get spot contributions from Braden Frager, just under 8 minutes, and then a 2.5 minute stint from Jared Garcia. Jay, we've talked about this at different points about, you know, Nebraska's depth. There's so many options, so many weapons. That's great, but every coach knows you got to pare down your rotation, which is where I think that the core for Nebraska will be that starting group. I think Cale Jacobson is pretty firmly there, and then depending on the matchup and who Nebraska is playing, that's where you could see a Sejan get 12 or Frager get 12 or even Garcia get 12, depending on the fouls. But right now, you know, after a couple really good games to start his career, Braden Frager's come back to earth a little bit. And that's fine.
Yeah.
If he can still come in, provide that athleticism, right? He was even in his 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look out of place athletically. He did his job. He kept it moving, pulled down a couple of rebounds, right? Jared Garcia is just there to eat minutes. And I still think Asijan probably gets played off the court a little bit just because of his lack of ball handling and lack of creation, which is where I think Sanford's a better fit for what Nebraska wants to do. And maybe Jacobson and Hoiberg handle the ball better at the point, but you still need a guy like Asijan, and just in case he's hot that night. But I really think that top 7 there with either Frager or Garcia as the 8th man, depending on the matchup, that I think is really where Nebraska's rotation will settle by the end of the year, unless you get Ugnius Jurisavicius back from injury, and that's maybe a little bit of a wrench. But sorry, Leo Curtis, you're fun. You'll be fun in the non-con, but I really think this is mostly what we're going to see from Nebraska once you get, you know, conference playing in.
Yeah, and then, you know, they can play their way up and down that, you know, first, second, third guy off the bench, and, you know, you got to continue to do it, and practice is going to be key for, you know, a guy like Braden Frager. He's still a freshman. I mean, it's great that you were really good in practice last year, but playing in the games, you know, you are a freshman. So he's learning, and they're bringing him along slow, and, you know, he must have done well enough to, you know, my boy Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? So, you know, more power to him. There's going to be games that he's going to have to play 11 and a half minutes, and the season is going to be 7, you know, 8 minutes. So you're going to have to be able to step up when need be. And, you know, look at Cale Jacobson and all those guys. They were able to earn those, you know, mid-20s, high-20 minutes per game minutes.
Nebraska women also played up at the Pentagon. They beat North Dakota State, final score of 82-70. It was not Britt Prince leading the way for Nebraska. It was Amaya Hargrove. Perfect day shooting the ball for her. 7-for-7 overall, 1-of-1 from 3. And knocked down both of her free throws. It was tight. Nebraska pulls away to win it by a dozen late. So a 2-0 weekend for Husker Hoops up at the Pentagon. Nebraska men will head down to Kansas City later this week. Hall of Fame Classic. New Mexico on tap, and then either Mississippi State or Kansas State. Speaking of Kansas City, could this be the year the Chiefs miss the playoffs? It's happened to all sorts of all-time greats. Chiefs aren't out of it yet. We'll tell you what the numbers say about this year's edition of the Kansas City Chiefs next.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School, 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you. This segment brought to you by the great people over at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based in Hallam. They offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows, locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more info, 402-430-3852, or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. It could be through the window that the Kansas City Chiefs are watching the playoffs this year. 5-5 in ninth place in the AFC right now. The three teams directly ahead of them all hold the tiebreaker with a head-to-head victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Jay, even off a bye week, the Chiefs couldn't find a way to beat Denver. This is a Chiefs team that last year went 10-0 in the regular season in one-score games. This year, 0-5. They've come in myriad ways, the Chiefs dropping these games. ESPN's FPI still has the Chiefs as a really good team. In fact, number one in ESPN's football power index, with a 55% chance to make the playoffs. That leaves a 44%+ chance that the Kansas City Chiefs miss the playoffs. They're sitting here at 5-5 with 7 games to go. Jay, we'll start with this. What's wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think people have caught up to them a little bit. I don't think people fear them anymore. And I think Philly took their heart. Mm-hmm. And I told you when Mahomes got off there with the green suit, that was desperation. Mm-hmm. And Philly, you met your maker. So I think also their success over the last 10 years in that run, which has been, you know, second to the Patriots, are probably one of the best runs ever, has made everybody else level up. And, you know, when they were feasting on a young Justin Herbert and, you know, the Broncos had whoever at quarterback and whoever at coach, mm-hmm. well, that's changed. So now it's the same thing Buffalo's facing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the times have changed, and they're a little off right now. You know, they're in a transition because, you know, I think Kelce is probably physically and more mentally there this year. They're not looking for him as much.
All-time Chiefs reception touchdown leader,
but they're just a little off. You saw the first, you saw their mentality. They're trying to strike early, right? Mm-hmm. Mahomes was off yesterday. The defense has been good, not great. I think their defense was probably better last year, just overall, just the way they played, just off the naked eye. And you could just, you know, look at Chris Jones. You know, he kind of stirs the pot. Played good yesterday, but kind of been inconsistent. So right now, they've had a tough run. They lost to Buffalo, lost to Broncos. You can't really fault them for that. Won 3 games, you know, before that, beat Detroit. So that's a big win. At the time, beat the Commanders pretty easily. Was competitive in every game. So I think they got to really look at, okay, let's look at these next 7 games. And really, if they're able to win this game against the Colts at home, against your Colts at home, mm-hmm. you like there. If I'm the Chiefs, I like my chances going on a run, mm-hmm. right? I get the cow at the Cowboys, and that, who cares, right? Beat the Cowboys, and you get the Texans at home. You like that, considering the Texans' offensive line, and you get the Chargers at home. We felt like they got one pulled over their wool over their eyes playing in Brazil mm-hmm. in week 1, and then you go to the Titans, and then you get the Broncos at home, and then you go to the Raiders. So if I'm Andy Reid, I like my chances. But what I don't like is us being inconsistent. Mm-hmm. So we got to get our consistency back. We got to get our edge and our swagger back. And that's only going to be by just rolling up our sleeves and getting back to what made us great.
I have been the numbers guy, and I will be the numbers guy again here for a second. When you adjust for down distant opponent in game situation, that's a stat called DVOA. Last year, before week 18 at the Broncos, the Chiefs were 6th. This year, going into the Broncos game, the Chiefs were 5th. Okay, tells you they're about the same, if not better, than they were last year. Expected points added per play, 11th on offense last year, third this year. Mm-hmm. This Chiefs offense this year for EPA is the number three offense in the NFL. Doesn't quite feel like it, okay? Even defensively. 15th last year, 10th this year. Schedule's been tougher. Chiefs faced the 18th toughest slate in 2024 and have faced the 5th toughest slate this year. Again, first place schedule, but do with that what you can. So those are the numbers that would tell you the Chiefs, essentially on a per-play basis, are as good, if not slightly better, than they were last year. Okay.
But.
You know, wait just a second. Chiefs offense second in the NFL in EPA per drive, not just per play. Among Chiefs offenses in the Patrick Mahomes era, this is from Shieldcapedia, the only offenses better than this one, EPA per drive, 2018 and 2022, two all-timers. Here's the but. That air of inevitability of they have the dudes to just make that one key play, gone.
Yeah.
Or at least dwindling, right? I mean, last year, 35-yarder for Denver to win the game, Leo Chanel blocks it. This year, 35-yarder for Denver to win the game,
no
problem for Will Lutz, right? Yeah. Last year, teams dropping the ball against him in the goal line, you know, or goal-to-go situation. Not happening this year. And most of the pieces are still there, but maybe not to the same degree, right? Another year for Travis Kelce hasn't been able to find that extra gear that it seems like. It's just weird because the numbers tell you that the Chiefs are fine and they have a better than not chance to make the playoffs. Now, I will tell you, Jay, as a fan of a fellow AFC team, I want no part of the Chiefs' devil magic in the playoffs. If the Chiefs sneak in as the 7 seed, let's say Indy cools down and they get the 2 or whatever. Man, I want no part of the Chiefs. Just because they haven't pulled it together yet, I don't trust that they won't do it. But there are some really worrying trends, especially defensively. They are not getting after the quarterback. They are making Chris Jones go essentially full defensive Mahomes. He can't do it or hasn't been able to do it. Haven't had anyone step up around him. Those guys aren't making plays. Mahomes has thrown 3 backbreaking interceptions.
Yeah.
And they have a chance to essentially ice the game against Denver. 2 chances to put the game away. They gain -3 yards on their last 2 drives. Couldn't even get a first down.
Yeah.
Not even a first down across 6 plays. That air of inevitability of, oh, I guess the Chiefs are going to find a way to squeak this one out. We've come a long ways from 13 seconds in Buffalo to where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, things have changed. And when you look at them, you know, they're leading interceptor. I mean, he has 1 interception. This is not the Chiefs, you know, defense or team that you like, you know, that you've been fearful of. And you never, Patrick Mahomes was deadly late in games when he rolled out there and you knew it was 4 minutes, if about 4 minutes left, and then they went 3 and out, something's changed, right? The connectivity between Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes,
Nagy.
Travis Kelce and Nagy is just a little bit off, so they got to get back to work. They are doing a lot of really good things. That's why I think they can really, Andy Reid can really feel like they can make the playoffs because they're just in a little bit of a lull right now, and they're getting everybody's best shot. And they're a little, I wouldn't say a little bit, they're a little bit withered, but they need some guy. You need Chris Jones not to be looking around against the Jacksonville Jaguars as the guys running the end zone. You need George Karloftis to continue to ascend to a potential all-pro player versus just a guy that had 1 really good year and then now I'm kind of just coasting, even though he has 5 sacks this year. He has been a non-factor.
Yeah.
To the point that Chris Jones has been upset with him. And so then you need the offense to decide what they want to do. All right, do we want to dummy this bad boy down and play big boy football, which they've shown the ability to do, right?
The ability to do it, but maybe the complete and utter lack of desire to do it.
That's what I'm saying. You have to decide. Listen, when the Chiefs offense was rolling, all right, what made the Chiefs offense really or potentially unstoppable is the ability to run the ball conventionally.
When they needed to.
When they needed to. And then when they decided to. Mm-hmm. They really ran it.
Yeah.
You look at the Super Bowls, they really ran it. And they'd have different running backs that are able to do it. So you can decide whether you want to do it. Do you want to be Pacheco? I saw your boy Hunt in there early. Or what do you want to do? Because when you start the game off going 3 bombs, that lets me know you're trying to put the dagger in the heart. Well, then now you didn't hit those. So now you have no physicality established. Whereas on the flip side, early in the game, Denver was punching that defense dead in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Denver has their own problems because they can get it all the way down to the 5-yard line and kick the field goal from the 20.
Yeah.
They lead the league, I think, in penalties. Mm-hmm. Right? And a lot of them have been offensively. So, or not actually defense pass interference. So, I want to be staying corrected there. So, the Chiefs have got to really just get into what they want their identity to be the next 7 games, and they'll be all right. Because I just think they're just too talented. Andy Reid's too good of a coach. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback going. Travis Kelce gets a little bit too much, you know, vinegar in him. And, you know, you need Rashee Rice to get going, right, to be consistent.
His return hasn't really helped Kansas City consistently. Not, that was supposed to be the difference.
That 1 week they went off.
And it's then consistently,
been,
though.
Yeah, it's been kaput. So now that's where the role definition has to be really put in effect, because you got Worthy, you got Rice, you got Juju. So where does everybody, you know, fit in? You know, can, and then you're trying to, it seemed like they're trying to overly feature Noah Gray too much. You know, like the first, like two passes.
Hey, this guy's coming after Kelce. Right. Here he comes. Look right. at him. He's
right.
our guy.
Right. Just like, nah, man. You know, like Kansas City had Jason Dunn and they had Tony Gonzalez and they were just fine.
Tony Gonzalez.
just Tony Gonzalez and Jason Dunn will do his thing. Just leave it at that. Noah Gray will have plenty of time to take over at when Kelsey's off doing movies or whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think they need to get a little bit tight. And then they need to look at how they're playing situational football, because this is unlike the Chiefs. They just didn't. And that 4-minute drive, when they got it, it was a 4-minute and
something.
Some change. Yeah. It's like, you're like, okay, here comes Mahomes. Well, dang, Denver just got the ball back. It almost threw them off in as far as how they're going to end the game.
Yeah. And Bo Nix, to his credit, has been pretty clutch this year. It was not a perfect game for him,
but he was good yesterday.
He was good yesterday.
He's been horrible the weeks before.
But found ways to do enough.
And he was clutch yesterday.
He was.
He was clutch. But yeah, it's they just got to get going. I would like to see them, instead of trying to, and this is nothing against Noah Gray, at this point, Andy Reid could be slick to try to get, because you got to just start depending on Travis Kelce. Because that's a dude that's won a lot of games for you.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you dial him back early in the game and make him okay with it, I would also...
The closer?
Yeah, the closer.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at when he went on the run, 11 targets, 11 catches.
Yeah,
He was in a lull then. Mm-hmm. Then in the playoffs, what did he do?
Turn it up.
Lead you right to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Juju Smith-Schuster kind of flex him in to the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get some explosive plays that way.
So middle of the field.
In middle of the field. Then you can open up Kelce on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can bring Noah. So I think they got to find that little mix, the kind of little Andy Reid special. They'll be just fine.
Last couple minutes here before we take a break. And Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, don't worry, we see you. We will get to you here. Mahomes is in his prime, squarely in the middle of it, in his age 30 season. ESPN put out a really interesting kind of look at other quarterbacks that either were or could have been considered to have been the greatest quarterback playing in that era at the time, you know, and missed the playoffs. Peyton Manning at 25 missed the playoffs and 0-1. They went 6-10. Brett Favre 5-4 in the middle of his first MVP season, and then 5-5 after 10 games in 1999. Aaron Rodgers 4-6 in 2016, his age 33 season. That's maybe the example that the Chiefs fans are holding on to, because that Green Bay team, I think that was the RELAX team that then won out, won the division. Made it to the NFC title game. Joe Montana, 5-5 in 1985, coming off Super Bowl in 1984, make the wild card, lose to the Giants. John Elway wins the MVP and takes the Broncos to the Super Bowl in 87, missed the playoffs then in 88. Marino, first team All-Pro for the third consecutive year in 86. Bad defense, they miss the playoffs when he's 25. And then Kurt Warner, 0-6 as a starter in 2002, just a year after winning the MVP and going up against the Rams in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So teams have been here before with a quarterback in their prime. To me, Jay, the question is less about, do the Chiefs make the playoffs this year? Can they do any damage? They can. They're the Chiefs. They might find a way. They might not. More important to me is, what does Kansas City do about this? New England might have staying power. Indy might have staying power. The Chargers and the Broncos might have staying power. We'll see what's left in the tank for Pittsburgh. Cincinnati and Baltimore won't be this bad again. Oh, and Josh Allen is still playing football as well. This year, you can't treat it as a throwaway year. Whenever you have a chance to make the playoffs in the NFL, you got to go for it. This seems like a critical offseason for Kansas City.
It's a critical offseason, but I think it's critical for the rest of the season, because that will dictate the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, better yet, the better question is, who is Kansas City moving forward? We knew who where they were.
Yeah.
Who are you moving forward? Patrick Mahomes' prime is going to stretch for the next 6 to 8 years, believe it or not.
Okay. Nature quarterback in this NFL.
He will. Because he can play with his mind. He can play.
Arm's still working.
He can play in the pocket. So he's going to play as long as he feels like it. What are we going to do, Kansas City? So you got to go down that list here. They might have to do. Kansas City's notoriously been a team, for instance, that, you know, kind of bargain shops at times with the wide receiver position. Now they went a little bit, obviously, with Worthy and all that, but maybe you go back to bargain shopping and then.
Well, the draft's dried up. You got to nail the draft.
Right. So maybe you try to get the guy in the third or fourth round that ends up being really good, right? Rasheen Rice was on his way until stuff happened. And then really invest in maybe in your corners and safeties now. Because, you know, they were always like draft a guy, develop him, then now he's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Now you got McDuffie coming up. Now what are you going to do? You let Reed go. And that's a big loss. Now, that was a guy that always was coming back on one-year deals, win a Super Bowl. And it was kind of like he was like the overlooked glue. That second and I call it a second and a half level. So he wasn't a linebacker. He wasn't a safety. He was a cleanup man. He made huge plays.
Yeah. Always had his nose around the football.
Always had and made huge plays, timely plays. You miss a guy like that. And then you move Drew Tranquil off a new, you know, budget friendly contract into a more of a starring role. Right. And so all those things, they're going to have to reshape and decide what they're going to do.
Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. We will get to you. Your thoughts on this very topic to round out hour two.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Back one final time for hour two of old school. Hour three still on the way. Big thanks to the folks at Love Volleyball, not Omaha anymore, Love Volleyball Nebraska for their sponsorship of this final segment. To our starter, Heyman Jewelers text line, we go. OG Breaker, even when the Chiefs are a 500 team, we have to hear about them all the time. Welcome to having the best quarterback in football. Crowbait definitely riding with the Colts next weekend. My man, hop aboard. Unmasked Texter, long story short, Chiefs suck, and I know all about bad football teams because I am a Vikings fan.
That
seems like a kind of low blow. Vern says, let's credit that Denver defense when the Chiefs needed to ice the game. Yeah, I mean, shout out Denver. They took the game. They won it. Shout out Denver. I mean, they're the one seed in the AFC. If the playoffs ended today, shout out to them. Derek in a car. If injuries start to pile up on any of the big three, it could all change in a heartbeat. Chargers beat both, but then the last 2 weeks of December at Kansas City and Denver will decide who can compete for the AFC championship. That's just the thing, Jay. I mean, the Chargers have been kind of building to this. The Broncos' record might be a little bit better than I think their quality of play has been, but their record's better right now. And we know how much a home field game can matter in the postseason. No, I trust neither franchise or my own for that matter.
Come on, Austin. Are you serious?
I'm rooting for him. I like him. I'm just not saying I trust him fully.
You don't trust the Colts?
I trust the Colts more than I do the Chargers and the Broncos. But I think the bye week came at the right time. And I think here's what I said to my friends and family who are Chiefs fans. If this Colts magical season and run is real, they find a way to snuff out any hope of Chiefs magic. If the Chiefs are still going to be the Chiefs and be a tough out and have something to say for the rest of the year, they'll find a way to win something. Because the Colts have beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs before. They did it with the running game. Jonathan Taylor was pretty good in an upset win. But, you know, I think the bye week was needed. Jones had regressed a little bit. Defense needed to get healthy. No, Buckner worries me a little bit. He's on IR, should return before the end of the regular season. It's not that I don't trust the Colts, right? This year in a vacuum, they've been just as good statistically, if not even maybe a little bit better than the Chiefs have, right? So this season, sure, I trust those teams more. Right. But I can't completely factor out the track record. I'm still in see it to believe it camp, and I'm hoping and rooting for a Colts win that will help me buy in one extra step.
Yeah, I mean, I'd favor the Chiefs just because they're desperate. And I think they're going to muster up enough to beat the Colts. But I'm a true believer in the Colts. They have a really good running game. That offensive line is playing hellified football. I think they got a good rhythm with Daniel Jones. I think that last game showed a little bit more moxie and in heart than people probably assumed that they would have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were shooting themselves in the foot and they stayed with it. Steichen is starting to grow on me a little bit. Mm. I like the owner. I think the defense is more trustworthy than people give them credit for. And I think once they get healthy, I think they'll get, I would like to still see, I mean, Franklin's pretty active. I think we need to get him back to when he was that hungry, Franklin. It was like, yeah. We need him in the, you know, I mean, not we, yeah. you would need him in the playoffs, but.
Well, and get someone alongside him too.
Yeah.
LB2 scares me.
Yeah. So if they do, they'll be all right. I think they'll get into the playoffs. And once you know that you're getting into the playoffs, that changes a lot of things.
It sure does. Westy, who did the Chiefs have left on their schedule? Jay, I know you went over it, but even if I don't remember the exact teams, what I do remember is that all the tougher games for the Chiefs are at home.
Yes.
That and could
good,
be big.
And it's good timing, right? Listen, when you look at it, you got to study what Jacksonville was able to do against the Chargers and the Chiefs, but more importantly, what they did against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. There's some payback there. You got Houston at home. The offense, I mean, CJ Stroud and playing, it favors the Chiefs. All right, you got Denver at home. Mm-hmm. So you get payback there. And you got Indy at home. So I like their schedule. I think
it gives them a chance.
I think if they're able to get over the hump against the Colts, then they go to Dallas. I think they have more, you know, heart than Dallas to crank it up one more time. And then they get a mini bye week. And then then the shockwaves are through the league. Like, here they come.
Mm-hmm. And 8-5 all of a sudden.
And then they get to get that kind of last little rest. Here comes Houston, right? Which obviously, hey, dang, that might be a game I need to go to. And then they get the Chargers.
Payback on their mind for that one.
Yeah.
At home.
And then you think like, okay, we go to Tennessee, handle them, and then we just gotta crank it up probably, you know, potentially.
One last time.
Against Denver on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
At home.
The Netflix special.
At home.
Kansas City invite.
At home. Oh, yeah. It Chiefs, and then if Patrick Mahomes gets in the playoffs, all the pressure's off. He's got to travel.
Just keep your eyes open. Not saying watch out. Just keep your eyes open. Eric and Lincoln, appreciate you texting in here. And then Mean Joe Green. At least we'll find out who the true Chiefs fans were now that they're struggling. Sick of all the bandwagoners.
Hey.
Well, it's part of the deal.
Chiefs fans came out and drove just like Iowa Hawkeyes fans came out right here. Well, Iowa was beat Nebraska. Boy, I saw more dudes walk around with Iowa Hawkeyes. I was like, oh, they always say, oh, I always was a fan. No, you weren't.
Mm.
Where are you from? He'd be like, Lincoln. No, you weren't.
No.
No, you weren't.
We are going to go to break. We'll be back. Hour 3 of Old School. Plenty more on the way in the realm of football and beyond. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School on the Ticket.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.